Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. It is the 30th of October, and my title today is No Tricks, All Treats. So tomorrow is Halloween here in America. It's the last day of October, and history gives us a lot of things to ponder regarding this practice. Now, I didn't grow up in a conservative religious home where if you dressed up like the devil or a demon, you might lose your salvation. We just put on costumes and walked around the neighborhood, got free candy, and what could be better than that? The first time I remember venturing out was when I was 5. I went as a hobo. My dad burned the end of a cork to blacken my face as if this 5-year-old had a heavy black beard, put on some frumpy clothes, a dirty old hat, and off I went to trick-or-treat around the houses at the Naval Academy. The next year, I went as a midshipman, wearing one of my father's uniforms that my mom had altered so it would fit me. Now, this was back around 1959, and the various treats were somewhat amusing. The dentist gave out toothbrushes and little tubes of toothpaste. Oh, we were excited about that. Some made popcorn balls, and others gave us fruit. But we had to be careful that there weren't any razor blades hidden inside. And there were also warnings of people giving out candy they'd poisoned. Now, there's a special place in hell for people that do that, right? I mean, really. A kid's going out to have some fun, comes to your door, and you're going to try and poison him? How sick is that? Some believe that on Halloween, it is the time when the dividing wall between the real world and those who are in the spirit world is at its narrowest. And so maybe ghosts and goblins might be hanging about. I don't know. Just seemed like a way for kids to have some fun and get some free candy. So let's imagine that you're doing a spiritual trick or treating. You're going to go to only one door, and that is the one at the pearly gates of heaven. You know, where St. Peter is, hanging out. He's sitting there by the door in his 30 AD costume of a long robe and sandals. His beard is long and has turned as white as snow, but he has a big smile on his face as you approach the door. Now, let's see, what would our costume be as we approach the pearly gates? Let's say our costume suddenly becomes what we were before we accepted Christ. And we read about that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and that would say that our costume would look like, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and sweet tooth, and following its desires and thoughts, and like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Nice costume. I'm getting the visual of you being dead in your sins and transgressions, so I'm thinking we're looking like a zombie, dead in our sins, a follower of the devil, craving the desires of our flesh, and we're by nature an object of God's wrath. And Also, you got your dirt, you got your righteous deeds, all right, but they're like filthy rags. Sounds to me like you're a zombie hobo. But there's this big mirror before you get to the door so that you can see what you look like before knocking, and you are shocked at the way you look because it's the old you. That was who you were before becoming a born-again believer and a child of God's. And in a second, you panic, thinking, oh no, maybe I was never really saved. Maybe my sexual sins and addictions were not forgiven, and I'm going to go to hell for my sins. And that's why St. Peter is there. Before you start trying to talk your way out of this, potentially eternal disaster, he simply says, "Have you trusted Christ by faith and asked him to be your Savior?" To which your answer is, "Yes, absolutely. I did that when I was a child." Or you might say, "Yeah, I did that when I was a teenager or an adult." Regardless of when, all Pete wants to know is not when, but did you put your faith in Christ and his sacrifice on the cross to be the payment for all of your sins? And his eyes are piercing right through you. And you know you must tell the truth, because he will know one way or the other. And when you gently, quietly whisper, "Yes, by the grace and mercy of God, he saved me and gave me the faith and the grace to believe." And Peter's smile returns and he says, "You may proceed." And as you take the next step, before you knock on the door, suddenly everything about you changes. You feel completely washed clean, although not a drop of water has landed on you. You are now suddenly clothed with a white robe, whiter than any cloth you've ever seen. Your skin has this soft, warm glow to it, and you suddenly feel better and healthier than you have ever felt in your entire life. You have been instantly changed from living in a perishable, diseased, and aging zombie hobo into a saint. Your body is now imperishable. Your sin nature is gone, and you will never have another sinful thought or feeling or action. And a voice behind the door, after you knock, says, "Come in. I've been waiting to show myself to you." And though you've never literally heard the voice of Jesus before, you know that it is he himself inviting you in so that you can be where he is forever. And I like to think about the song that Steve Green used to sing, "Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home." With God, my friends, there are no tricks. There are all treats. And we will someday meet our Savior face to face. This is John Doyle with 180 Podcasts. God bless you. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. Whether you celebrate Halloween or not, be thankful for all that God has done for you. Goodbye, and we'll talk tomorrow.